Okay, today I want to go begin some inyani Haggadah. Okay, I do not know if I will do Haggadah every day, but today let's do a little Haggadah. I purchased a new. It's not a Haggadah. I don't like buying Haggadahs. I like buying Svarim on Pesach. It's very hard. They very 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 few Svarim come out on Yom Tov. And in Yanim, most of the things that come are just they make a goylem. They take a big name and they go through all of his ksavim and they put together Haggadah. Doesn't always come out with tam when it's not written for the Haggadah. It's just bits and pieces. Okay, so they're all different types of tam. But this comes from Rav Yisrael Schlesinger. Rav Yisrael David Schlesinger. Shol David Schlesinger in Muncie is a shame davar. He's a very popular rabbi, a very chashuv kihila. Shari Til. You know,
went once to a shul, had a bris.
In the shul?
11 to 12, yes. So the bris was after 12 because he had a shir and he could make a shir.
He had the shir first. They wanted him to come to the shir. You went to the shir.
Went inside the shir, yeah.
So it was impressive, the shir? So he's a Pem, and the Pem Madag Margolius. He's a brilliant Talmud Chacham, and they have from him, they promote Shiurim, the organization called the Lech Techavadech. Everything is from him is in Yiddish.
Yes.
So it's a little bit, if you're not fluent in Yiddish, it's a little bit difficult. It's not that difficult. Okay. He speaks a very, very easy, very light Yiddish. But all of the Shiurim are in Yiddish. He must have by now thousands of Shiurim. So tremendous thousands on every topic that you've ever heard of, from everything you can imagine.
Halacha
and Haggadah and all different types of inyanim, whether it's on inyanei tefillah or whether it's on Tanakh or everything. And he gives a blatshir. So someone came along this year and took his tapes, the recordings of his shiurim that relate to Pesach, and they basically transcribed it into a very nice sefer. They translated it from Yiddish to Hebrew, and they put out his chidushim. So I just opened up yesterday the sefer, and I went through maybe 2-3 chapters. I want to share with you some of the yesodos that I enjoyed from his sefer. This chapter focuses pretty much on the inyan of Orchatz. In the Haggadah, we have Simonim, and what's interesting is about Orchatz, we wash twice, and we don't make any mention of a third washing. We have Kadesh Orchatz, okay, why do we wash for Orchatz? The Gemara tells us, because we're going to dip the karpas in the salt water. That's one. Now, why, so what? Did you ever see someone wash their hands when they dip a vegetable in a dip? Never. You never see this. If someone wants to eat vegetables, they want to dip the vegetables, they have all today. It's a big fat today. You go, they have these salad bars, where you both have salad, all different types of exotic salads, and you dip the salad in some type of dressing, seasoning. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, that it says in the Gemara, that if you dip a vegetable into a dip, you are mechuyif to wash your hands, to wash netilas yodayim. We don't do this bizman hazeh, and in fact, if you do this, it's mechzi ki yohira. It's a gaiva. We're not on the level where we're so nizer and such extreme chumris that you should wash your hands when you dip your vegetables in seasoning. We don't do this in a dressing. We don't do this. But Pesach night is a night of Kedusha. It's a very holy night. And therefore we do things Pesach night that we did not ordinarily do the entire year. Therefore, Urchatz, we wash our hands before we dip the vegetable, whether it's a potato, whether it's celery, whatever you want to use for karpas, in the salt water. That's why it's called Urchatz. But then later in the Haggadah, we wash again for bread. Rochtza, we wash again before we eat the bread. Now, there should be another time that we wash our hands, and when is that? Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is the halacha. That's not something you can play around with. You're supposed to wash Mayim Achronim at the end of the meal. So the question is, why are there two different mentioned, both Urchatz and Rachsa, but there's no mention of the washing for the Mayim Achronim. Now, let's go even a level deeper. Why do we refer to, you know, the simonim are, there are only 15 simonim, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Nagid, Rochatz, Mutzi, Matzah. Why, if we're so sparing on the simonim, why did Chazal give two separate simonim for Urchatz and Rochatz? And more specifically, why the change of expression? Why is one called Urchatz and one is called Rochatz? So he goes through a lot of very interesting things. One of them he brings down is very interesting from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Sechet Tzadik Levrach. Very nice answer. And he explains that Urchatz comes from the word Rechatz. Rechatz is a tzivu, is a command. Rechatz, I command you now to go wash your hand. Rochatza is in the past tense. Rochatza, you washed. It's not a command. It's a statement. It's a fact. As a matter of fact, well, so there's something you do now. You wash your hands. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach explains the reason why Urchatz is given in the command form is because since it's only done once a year, a person needs to be encouraged to do it correctly. Something which you do out of rote, second nature, you do the entire year, rochatza, you wash your hands for bread. So what's the big deal? You wash your hands, rochatza, so it's nothing special, something which is ordinary. So there you just say rochatza. Rochatza, washed. But when it comes to urchatz, which is washing your hands, dipping a vegetable into water, which is something you only do once a year on a special occasion, a person has to be reminded, has to be encouraged to appreciate the depth of what is taking place at this point in time, and therefore it has to be written in the command form of rechatz, wash your hand. And being that we want to connect this to Kaddish, Kaddish means to make Kiddush, and also has a deeper significance of sanctify yourself in preparation for this momentous event of what we're going to accomplish at the Seder, to reenact Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, because we are sanctifying ourselves, that's why we're going the extra step, we're going to wash our hands when we dip the vegetable in salt water. There's a vav that connects the tzivui to the kedush. That's just an interesting idea from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. It also points out, just incidentally, is the real simple reason is because it rhymes. Really, Chazal would have no problem saying Urchatz twice or Rochatz twice, but because this simin of Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, it's a song and it's a rhyme, so Urchatz rhymes with Yachatz. Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas Yachatz. We want to make the word Urchatz rhyme with Yachatz, so therefore those two words go very well together. When it comes to Rochatza, Rochatza, Motzi Matzah. We want Rochatza to rhyme with Motzi Matzah. So Rochatza, it wouldn't sound good, Urchatz, Motzi Matzah. Rochatza and Motzi Matzah, Matzah and Rochatza, they are the same sound. Therefore it rhymes better. That's like the one. I am Ponim LaTorah. To learn something in the most basic beer skeleton pshat. It's a very good illustration of how I am Palma Torah. Like real pshat. It's Urchatz, because Urchatz rhymes with Yachatz. And it's Rochatza, because Rochatza rhymes with Motzi Matzah. But on a deeper level, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Urchatz, it's a tziv, it's a Lashon Hoiv, Osit. Be mizareis yourself to do something unusual. Things which are ordinary, you don't need encouragement. So Musar Haskel for life. Things that happen only once in your life, you have to take seriously. Okay, there are things that happen every day. Okay, every day, so big happens every day. So you're not required to give it the seriousness that it deserves, because it's common. But when you come to an event in life that's not going to come around for a long time, a person makes a simcha, makes a simcha in the family. Person makes you have an event, Kiddush Levana, once a month, Birchas Hacham, right, once in 28 years. Things that don't, person should not say, oh, all right, another day, another mitzvah, just get over with. you have to take things seriously. You need encouragement. You need zeus to appreciate the significance of the event. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Another idea he presents why we say rachza. Something very interesting. That rachza. The truth is rachza. Bikur hadin. You don't need to do a second washing. Because the person, the only reason why we wash a second time is because we're not really careful to guard our hands during the Haggadah. Me'ikar hadin is a very interesting halach. Me'ikar hadin, the person he washes his hands for the karpas, to dip the karpas in the salt water, and he's very careful not to be me'siach das, to make sure that his hands do not touch anything that's not proper. He does not need to wash again for motzi matzah, when he wants to wash for bread. Therefore, it's rachza. Rachza, the tense, the way the connotation of rachza means, it's not an ikar. Orchatz is the ikar, wash. That you must, because you're beginning the seder. You're beginning the seder, you're now going to dip. So we are of the assumption, you have to take a little bit together, that we know in advance, We're going to be Mesiach Das. We're just not holding where we should be. We're going to be Mesiach Das. And the washing of Urchas is only a minhag. It's not because Al Bihalach Shachnach, we don't wash when we dip a vegetable. So we don't make a bracha. And we know in advance that we will be Mesiach Das. So that's why we can make the bracha of Urchas for the bread. We can make it with the bracha. But being that there's also truth, that ideally, there's always a balance between the ideal and what's practical. Practically speaking, we know what's going to happen. We mean Mesiach Das, and there's only a minuk, so don't make a bracha for Urchatz, make the bracha for Rachza. But you also have taken into consideration that ideally, once you wash for Urchatz, there's no need to wash again for the bread. So Urchatz is expressed in a very strong, commanding term. Urchatz, wash. Rachza, it's after the fact. Oh, you have to wash again.
So if rotza is so sort of a weak one,
yes,
then maybe you should make the bracha on the stronger one.
So that's exactly what Rabbi Mayevsky was asking.
The
answer is because we have to be practical. Practically speaking, the vast majority of Klal Yisrael will be Mesiach Das. Between, we'll lose concentration, we'll not pay attention to where his fingers move around during the Seder between the time of Orchatz and the time of eating the bread. When you say the Haggadah and you drink two kosos, it's assumed that therefore we know in advance that we're going to forget. So we're going to have to make a bracha again. And this, that we make the bracha for dipping the bread, dipping the vegetable in the salt water, it's not something that we do the entire year. And in fact, the entire year, if a person is not allowed to do this, because mechse ki yehora, we only do it on Pesach because everyone does it, and it's an extra hiddur for Pesach, and it's not ikar adin. So we fall back on the default, we do not make a bracha. Practically speaking, we don't make a bracha for Urchatz, and we make a bracha for Rachza, because we're going to be Mesiach Das. But we also take note that ideally, we're doing something which really is required in the beginning of the Seder, and what we're doing later on, ideally, should not be required. And therefore, we contrast the term that we use for the washing in a such a way which brings out that we really are striving for things that are greater than ourselves. We're striving to reach a level where we're holding in halacha, where we should wash for a vegetable, and we can control our thoughts of kedusha all the way to the end of the meal, and we would not be required to wash again for the bread. Now, what about, why don't we wash for Mayim Acharonim? How come there's no mention of Mayim Acharonim? It's also not Al-Fi Halacha. There is no question when the Seder is over, you have to wash Mayim Acharonim. And in fact, in one of the piyutim that you say, there's a piyut, the very famous piyut that goes through the entire process of the Seder. We say there that you do wash Mayim Acharonim. However, there Me'ikar Hadin, you don't need to wash the night of Seder Mayim Acharonim. Why not? Why do we wash Mayim Acharonim? For two reasons. Number one, you wash Melach Sedomis, Sakana, because the time of Chazal, they would dip their bread in salt, and the salt is poisonous. The Seder, there's no salt. On the Seder, even if you hopefully put salt on the table, there's a question, you put salt on the table, but you don't dip the bread in the salt. Lechem oni. It's lechem oni. You don't dip this matzah in the salt. So there is no melach sidonis. As far as mayim achronim being used to clean your hand as a zecher for the minik of that you have poison on your fingertips, melech stomis, that's not required by the Seder. There is no melech stomis. Why else do you want to? Why else? There's Kabbalistic reasons. It's this. We don't know what this means. It's shmira. Is that the Satan is very jealous. We're about to embark on the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, one of the few mitzvahs deraisos that we have every single day, Birchas HaMazon, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, and the Satan is very jealous, and the Satan is trying to cause us great harm. So we don't know this. This is a Kabbalistic reason. You wash mayim achronim, give him something, give him a bone. That's what it says. This is brought down. We need to be protected from the danger of the Satan. So part of this Kabbalistic protection, we wash my machronim. Pesach is a Lel Shimurim. Lel Shimurim hu laHashem. It's a night where Hashem watches us, and therefore we don't need to protect ourselves from evil forces, from the mind, from the Satan. We don't need this. We don't need to protect ourselves from anything. Also, let's say, forget about the Satan, Zuama. You couldn't find the Satan. It's filth. There's forget about the mimes, the melech sodomis. You wash your hands because germs, whatever there is, there's an extra degree of protection. Lel Pesach me ikar haden HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us with an unusual degree of hashkocha pratis. We don't need that protection, and therefore, technically speaking, you don't need mayim achim. Not practically speaking. I'll give you an example. Do you lock your door in the night of Pesach?
No.
I'm sure you all do. No?
No.
Maybe from the Eretz Yisrael, you know. But I think most people are not so secure that they're not going to lock their door the night of Pesach. Are you locking your door the night of Pesach?
Got to leave it open to Elio.
After Elio, when you go. But isn't it brought down in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is you leave your door open? There are things which are ideal. Lel Shimurim Hu LaHashem. And then there are things that are practical. You have to have the right balance between the two. Practically speaking, if your hands are dirty, you're going to get sick. You have to wash your hands with mayim achronim. But in a perfect, idealistic world, you also have to wash your hands. But when Hashem is on a night of Lel Shimurim, when Hashem is protecting you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to take the extra precautions on the night of Pesach that you would ordinarily have to do. Now we do it anyway, because we know that we're not, who are we fooling? We do it anyway. But the whole Seder is geared with trying to hone in, to wake us up to realize, you know, there's more to it. There's an ideal world. There's something above you, beyond you. Therefore, there's no mention in the simonim of washing mayim achronim, even though washing for mayim achronim is a much greater obligation than urchatz, and to a certain degree even then rachtzina. Why rachtzina? This is another very chishli explains, because in Shulchan Aruch, the only time you're obligated to wash your hands is if you're planning even for bread, is if you're planning to eat bread the size of an egg. An egg is basically two olives. It's the size of a double zayis. The night of Pesach, now we eat multiple kazais. We need kazais for the afikoyim, we need kazais for moitzi matzah, kazais for the even for the matzah itself, we double kazais. But ideally, the mitzvah of eating the lech on the night of Pesach is only to eat one kazais. And you only really need to eat one kazayis. Only to eat one kazayis, you're not mechuyev al pi halacha to wash. You're only mechuyev to wash if you eat a beitzah. And for this reason, this is very interesting. The Mishnah, if you look very carefully in the Mishnah says when you wash rachza is not really for the bread. The reason why you wash with the bracha rachza mikradin is for the dipping of the maror in the charoses. It's called the tibul sheni. The words of the Mishnah are the rachza, the washing I read you the words of the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah Pesachim. The Gemara is Tavkuf Tes Vav Mebeis. Notal Yadav L'Tibul Rishain. Even if you wash your hands for the Tibul Rishain, for dipping the karpas in the salt water, Noitel Yadav L'Tibul Sheni. What do you mean? You're washing your hands for the bread.
Well, we say, you know, the children are always taught to have in mind the Gemara and the Karpas.
When you do the Rach, so the washing for the Urchatz, for the Urchatz, that later.
Right.
So this is the Dictorat Tais, Ma Tam, the Tais is the Kasha, Ma Tam Lo Hiskira Pas. Tais is the Kasha, why doesn't the Mishnah say the bread? So Tais, have a look at Tais, it really means for the bread. It really does mean for the bread. That's what it's referring to. But on a deeper level, the truth is, the rocks of the washing that we do for the bread is not really for the bread. Ideally, because really only need to eat a kazayis. And a kazayis, mikra hadin, does not require washing. What requires washing? Dipping a vegetable into a liquid, into a dressing. Dipping the maror, a vegetable, into the charoises, that really requires a tibul. That's the tibul sheni. Being that we're going to also eat a lot of bread, a lot of matzah, multiple kazesim, some emela, it was hijacked. The urcha, the rochza, was hijacked by the matzah of the moitzi matzah, the matzah mitzvah, the afikoyimin, and the korech. It was hijacked for the suda, but really the washing, the ikar hadin, is for the tibul sheni. And that totally changes the whole focus of what we're washing for. Okay, so these are just a couple of things. Now, one other interesting thing that I saw you bring here is a very long piece to explain that the Maral had a minhag. The Maral quotes this minhag, and people don't do this today, maybe they do it, is that you're supposed to bring for Orchatz, you don't go to the sink. Orchatz, they bring it to you. They bring you a basin, a gold, they bring you a... They bring it to you and you wash. So he explains that what's the purpose of doing... what is the purpose? So he connects this with the charoses. One of the things of the charoses, one of the ingredients that's critical is the apple, the tapuach. There are a list of ingredients that one is required to put into the charoses. So one is an apple, and the apple represents tachas hatapuach orar ticha. Underneath the apple tree, I have aroused you, and alludes to something that we discussed last week in the parashas Pikudei, the marois hatzoivos. The marois hatzoivos, that when the Bnei Yisrael, they were busy doing labor, they were building pieces of Ramses, the men were exhausted, the women came out, and they brought mirrors, and they adorned themselves in front of the mirrors before their husbands, and their husbands were aroused, and they had children, and the pasuk alludes to this, and then they got pregnant, and they went out outside to the tapuach, to the apple tree, and they gave birth. And this entire sequence of events of the women coming out to encourage their husbands when they were doing the hard, crushing labor, is all, in the whole series of events, is alluding to the pasuk of tachas hatapuach, underneath the apple tree, or artichah, I have aroused you. That is an ingredient, that is what we allude to when you put the apple into the charoses. The mesiras nefesh, the women had to increase their numbers and encourage their husband when they were doing the crushing labor, which really is what the charoses is all about. The charoses is the brick and mortar, it's the mortar of the piece of the Ramses. Therefore, when you're washing, you're preparing for dipping the maror. The ikar reason why we wash is because we're dipping a vegetable in a dressing. So the washing is a preparation. What did the women do with those mirrors that they used? Tachas hatapuch ar articha. They brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and from those mirrors was made the kiar. And the first thing that you do when the Kohen does, when he does the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, is he first washes his hands before he does the Avod. If he does not wash his Chayiv Misim V'Shemayim, if he does not wash his hands. First thing you do in the Seder is, you have Kaddish, Urchatz, and Karpas. Now let's make very clear. Kaddish is, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. If you want to start your Seder early, you really can. You could have Kiddush early, before Shkia, before Tzeis. But Karpas has to already be after Tzeis. Because Karpas is already considered to be part of Igarat HaLevincha. The Gad Levincha in Kedushas Hayoyim, we have a principle you can be knocked in the Kedushas Hayoyim earlier. So you can make Kiddush, even though Kiddush is one of the Dalakoisais. Kiddush. It's one of the Dalakoisais, four Koisais, but since it's done in the backdrop of Kiddush, Kiddush Hayoyim, and Kiddushim can always take place early, we know that we make an early Yom Tif, early Shabbos, early Yom Tif, that comes in earlier. But Karpas is already part of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's all in order to arouse the children, in order to reenact the suffering of Avodim Milafaro, that we were slaves, we had to go dip. We had to, that's the Charoises, but okay, I'm getting confused, I'm mixing the two together. But Orchatz precedes all that. Orchatz represents the beginning of the Avoda, and to some degree he explains that Orchatz is a reenactment of the Marois Hatzoivos. That's why it's brought. The father wears a kittel. The kittel is white. He represents the kohen doing the avoda. And the kohen's first thing he does when he comes to the avoda is he washes his hands from the kiyar. The kiyar was made from the maros hatzoivos. The maros hatzoivos is captured in the pasuk tachas hatapuach oirarticha. And one of the things that the Urchatz is being done from, as Ramayevsky mentioned, when you do the Urchatz, you also have in mind, you make the Adam on the Karpas, the entire Urchatz, also to remind you that we're washing in preparation for dipping the Mor in the Charoses. Those two things, not just two disparate things, they come together. Because the Charoses captures the event of Tachas HaTapuch Ararticha, and Tachas HaTapuch Ararticha was actualized in the Maros Hatzoivos in the Kiyar. So when you're washing from the Kiyar, you're coming again in contact with what you'll come in later on with the Karpas, with the Charoses, which has in it the Apple. There's a little bit going off a little bit too deep, but this is just a little bit of a remnant. Let me tell you one more last thing, and then we'll stop. I found this to be interesting. Let me work backwards. When we learned the Aleph Beis, we came across at some point in time the number, I think we did the number Ayin, letter Ayin, the number 1820. Now, what was the significance of the number 1820? What's the big deal? 1820? The reason I'm telling you this is not because I'm a very big fan of numbers, because it made an impression on me. The very last thing I'm going to tell you, the number 1820 is equal to 70 times Hashem's name. It's rumors in the pasuk, Soid Hashem Liyareyav. What is Soid? Nichnas Yain Yetzei Sod. Sod is 70. Hashem Adnos Aleph Dalid Nun. Sod Hashem. The way you pronounce Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is 65. 65 times 70 equals 1820. Is that correct? Do the numbers in mind quickly and then figure it out. 65 times 70. No?
45, 50.
What?
It's 45, 50. 65 times
70. So I'm a little confused.
That's 45, 50.
So what about 26?
26 times 70 is...
Okay, fine. Soit Hashem. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Soit Hashem Li-Rei-Av. 20... Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei times 70 is 1820. Correct?
Yeah.
1820. Okay, fine. Very nice little cute thing. The letter Ayin. Why is that significant? Why is that? Because in Tanakh, go later, take out a Tanakh, one of those big books, and go the entire Tanakh, and you will discover, this is a fact, that there is exactly 1,820 references times Yud-Kei Vav-Kei appears in the entire Tanakh. So there's something significant about the number 1,820. That's the number of times Hashem's name appears in Tanakh, and it's hinted to Soid Hashem Li-Rei-Av. If you're a Yari Hashem and you know Hashem's secrets, you'll know the entire Torah. You'll have this idea of 1,820.
But now, each name,
Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name Yud. No, the only thing referring to Yud Kei, the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. That is Shem. 1,000. Not Elokim. Not Tzavokos. Not Kel. No Kinoi. Just Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's probably easy to check on a computer. You do. They have a lot of these programs. You do a search. You have a whole Tanakh. You do a search. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You should get 1,820. This is already an old Vard, an old Yisoid. Now I also found over here and discovered that there are a lot of other references to Yud Kei Vav to 1,820 in the Torah. For example, what is the first Rashi in Torah? It's the first mitzvah. Why did Hashem start earlier? Because Koyach Masav Higil Yamo, the Koyach Hashem, that was the one. The Koyach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to tell them that Hashem created the world and He gave it to who He wants, He took it away from who He wants. So Hashem started with Bereishis, but really the Torah should have started with HaChodesh Elohim Rosh Chodeshim. According to my Sefer here, it says that if you count from the beginning of the Torah until the Pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, there are exactly 1,820 psukim. Hmm. It shouldn't be so hard to count because after every parasha, the beginning of the Torah. The beginning of the Torah, Parashas Bo. 1,000, you should be able to count. The end of every parasha, the seven, how many psukim there are?
You have the summary of
the psukim.
Right away, it's an average would come out.
1,800 about Kore, he made Cheshvan already.
There
are 108
is an average of in the Chumash.
So,
but of course, that's very small and very large. So anyhow, if you take 16 parishes, Bereishis is large. 1820 is right away.
It fits
very much in the ballpark.
1,800 from the beginning of the Torah until Achar Shalachem. Very, very nice drush. I'll give you another example. Another example is the first word of the Torah, Bereishis. We learned about these type of gematrias. They take where you spell Bereishis. Beis is Beis Yutzaf. Beis. Reish Yutshin. Reish. You take the first word and you take every letter and you spell it out and you add up the gematria. 1,820. Another example. Another reference. Now here's what I got confused with the 65. Rashi says the Torah should have begun with Hachodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim. It's the first mitzvah. Why not? Koyach Masav Higil Yamai. Aleph Dalet Nun Yun is 65. What is Koyach?
28.
Koyach is 28. What is 65 times 28? 1820. So therefore, Rashi says we really should have started. Achodesh Elohim is 1,820 psukim. That's where we're going to start. But in the meantime, Hashem wanted to teach us the Koyach Hashem, Koyach Masav. Masav, okay, it's not Masav, but it's the Koyach Hashem. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yigdal
Koyach Hashem.
It's spelled there?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yigdal Koyach Hashem. So you see the Ferish, the Pasuk in the Torah. Koyach Hashem. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Multiplied by Koyach 28 is 1,800. Another unbelievable reference. An unbelievable reference to this incredible number, 1,800. You see what I'm coming to in a moment. We're not finished yet. Let me give you another example. Where is the first time that Hashem's name appears in the Torah? The name Yud-Kei. It's always Bereish Bar Elokim, Elokim, Elokim. B'yoyim Beroy Hashem Elokim. How many letters are there from the base of Bereish until the first time it says Yud Kei Vav Kei?
Let's guess.
Count it up. 1,820 letters. Okay, so one thing you walk away from here today, don't ever forget this number. Now, one more beautiful. Now, this is amazing Yisod, and there's no way to prove this unless you spend your whole life and you get a PhD for doing this. I don't even know it'll give you a PhD for this in this world for doing this, but this is a very interesting. You have to ask an expert. I have no way to prove this right. This is what it says here. I'll read you the words. The Oid Remez Nifla. I'm reading up from Schlesinger Sefer in the footnote. I don't know who's writing the footnotes. I don't know if the Schlesinger. This old, I used to listen to his tapes. I used to listen to the car. Now I haven't listened to him in a long time because they used to, give it in shul. He had it in the shul. Lotchavaderech. They used to promote it. And I can hear him talking when I read this. I can hear the style of his speech in the words of the Sefer.
A good value of sound.
Yes, the quality of the sound is excellent, superb. But it's in Yiddish. It's a Yiddish. Oh, excellent.
Is that what they get? It's...
So you go to maybe Rabbi Frankel Shul. They have the some of the Shtiblach have in the hall. They have a thing called the Velechtecha Vaderech. In Chaim Blum in the basement, they have in Tarvadas. They have in Rabbi Frankel Shul. I think they used to have. You go look in some of the shuls in the hall. Ask around. In the hall, there's on the wall, they have like a little booth
to buy
for $1. They're very cheap. They don't charge a lot of money. And they can buy sets. You can buy like 100 shiur for $10. You'll see they have sets and CDs. And his stuff is always... a lot of people don't give away. You know, they want money for their recordings. But he gives away all the stuff for free, all the shiurim, so it's available. And then if you call up, you can get even more. Okay, fine. But... I'll read you what it says. I don't know if who's writing this. It's him or it's the one who transcribed. The oid remez nifla yesh b'torah shehinei b'torah yesh karov lepei elef tevas. In the Torah, I'm assuming chamisha chumshei Torah, how many words are there? We know that the letters, there are 304, 800 and... 304,000, 800 and something... 304,800... Something like that. Around 304,000 letters in the Torah. How many words are there in the Torah? How many words? Something we should know. I don't know. It says here close to 80,000 words. 80,000. Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's what it says. I'm reading here. Okay, so it's Karov Lepei Elef. 80,000 words in Chamisha Chumshei. Lay the whole Torah? You lay 80,000 words.
1-8.
80,000. 80,000. 100 years ago, there was a genius. I don't know who this person was. He was. Now, there are a lot of. It says Vayidaber many times. It says Vayomer many times. It says there are many words that reappear, and the shirosh and the shoresh, the roots. A root is how many letters? It's machlek, it's Rashi, three, and Menachem, two or three. So he's working with some, he's working with the Yisra. I don't know who he's working with, Rashi, Menachem, two to three, but you have a formula. And he says something which is amazing, but if you'll go and you'll check into the shiroshim, you'll discover there's exactly in the Hebrew language that our God gave us, the Torah, there are really exactly 1,820 words. That's the dictionary. A biblical dictionary, just the root, the shirish, not all of the variations, is the complicated 1,820. Yeah, obviously you need to work a system to get down to not to go too much, too little, but there's a system where he says, comes out, unbelievable. Why? Because since Hashem's name appears in Tanakh 1,820 times, Mimela 1,820 times, the whole Torah is the Shem of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who Shemos of Shelah Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this is really amazing stuff here. So let's just review it now. I'm almost ready to finish up. I told you how many examples we've given. 1,820 times Hashem's name is in Tanakh. There's 1,820 letters until you come to the first Yud Kei Vav Kei. The first Rashi says, Mustafa HaChayid Shalachem, there's 1,820 psukim until you come to HaChayid Shalachem. There's 1,800 Hashem. The beginning of Torah begins with the whole big Torah begins with Bereish because it's the Koyach Hashem. 65 times Koyach is 1,820. And the first word Bereish, if you spell out Bereishis, Beis, Yud, Sof, and so on and so forth, it's 1,820. It's all over the place. It's an unbelievable number. And the Shirashim, that I think it's mind-boggling. That's something that really shook me up. That the Shirashim of the biblical dictionary is exactly 1,820. Fascinating. It has to be proven. It has to be shown. I don't even know if there's such a thing. It says over here that someone did it. I don't know. I never sifted. Why am I telling all this to you? I typically would not tell this. This is not my style. Why would I? Am I telling this all to you? There's another 1,820. Guess what that is? From the word Ha Lachma Anya until Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, it's exactly 1,820 words in the Haggadah. Now, I know there are variations in the Haggadah, so you have to work out. No, not that. You have to work out the variations. This is this I've seen. This is not. I've seen this var. This var has been around. You have to work out the girsa. You know, some girsa, some marach in one place, and the makatz in another place. But approximately, for sure, there's exactly 1,820 words in the Haggadah from the beginning. Halach ma'ani. Dear for what? Wow, unbelievable. Another thing to add to my list, right? To the list of things. But Schlesinger, you know, he has a koyach. He has a tremendous koyach in Jewish, and if my nafkamina, when you say the Haggadah, make sure you say every word. People have a tendency, hey, the Haggadah, say the Haggadah, you know, I'm tired, especially when you get that, you rattle off the Haggadah. You know, when you say Hallel Shalem, there's a halacha, if you miss one word, lo yotza. When you say, today is Rosh Chodesh, big deal, chatzi Hallel. You're anyway skipping half a Hallel. Not half, you're skipping, so it's only a minute to say Hallel. So if even the parts that you do say, if you miss a word, if the chazan slurs a word, no big deal, a chatzi. But no, it's serious business. People who know the halacha are very makbid. When you say Hallel Sholem on the 8 days Chanukah, and on the first 2 days Pesach, and on Sukkot, you have to be very careful, serious business, to say every single word. Just like when you're laying the Megillah out loud, articulate, not out loud, but you have to be careful to say everything. Just like when you're laying the Megillah, if you miss one word, Lo Yatza Yidei Vaso, Lo Yatza, people go out of their mind, missing one word. So too, when you say Hallel Shalem, you don't want to miss, you're not allowed to miss one when you lo yotza. When you say the Haggadah, serious business. Is 1,820. 1,820 is a number that's Kodesh Kodashim. That's the number of Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tanakh. That's all of these things. It's a very holy number. And the nafkamina is, don't miss a word. Every word say with holy kavanah. That's his message. I went down to one last teeny little thing which I've got to tell you made a very big impression on me. He brings a mice with the bells about one word. Okay, talking about one word. This is not part of the Haggadah, but it's made an impression on me. There's one word, there's a mice with one of the bells of Rebbe's. There was an observer. He came to watch the sit by the bells of Rebbe. And the bells of Rebbe's child, he said to his father, oh, wow. We're up to the Manishtana. Can we now? The child said to the father, I want to ask the four questions. I'm sure the kids have all these Yiddish expressions, whatever. I want to ask you. No, good. You left out a word. So this child says, I want to ask the Manishtana. No, you left out a word. Nachamal. On and on. So it's just, what did I leave out? So the father said, the Belgian said, you left out the word Abba. Abba. I want to ask the Manishtana. The word, please. The word, not please. Maybe he said please. I don't know what he says. Yeah. Abba. But we said the word Abba is part of the Haggadah. It's not part of our Nusach Haggadah. Yeah. This contradicts, I just told you, the 1,820. Yeah. Okay? It's a contradiction. It's not part of the Haggadah. It's not part of the Haggadah, but it's a powerful Musar. Is that part of the Vigadata Levincha? It's not just people have the impression of Yigadta Levincha, the father has to treat the children like children in order to Mekayim the mitzvah. These are my children, my grandchildren. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to Mekayim the mitzvah. Part of the Bills Rebbe is showing us, part of the Haggadah is the children have to know their children when they ask the questions. You have to show, before you ask the Manishtana and wait for the answer, who am I and who are you? You are the father, and I'm the child. You have to start with Abba. I want to ask. You know your place. You're the Abba. I'm the Ben. Oh, now you can ask, and then I can answer. That one word is critical for the entire Haggadah. And you leave it out, it's no good. Okay, it's not something which is part of the 1,820, but there's definitely some Musar there as well. Okay, have a wonderful day.